Blog Talk Radio.
Hold him up as long as you can.
Roger.
Watch out, he's got a gun.
Keep away. Keep away. Keep away. I won't allow you to destroy.
Turn on that generator. Get back here, Eddie.
I'm your friend. Look, I have no weapons. I'm your friend. You're wiser than I. You must understand what I'm trying to tell you. Don't go any farther. They'll kill you. They think you mean to harm us all. But I want to know you, to help you. Believe that. You're wiser than anything on Earth. Use that intelligence. Look at me and know what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not your enemy. I'm a scientist. I'm a scientist who's trying to...
I think it's right in the middle of it, sir. On that walk, Captain. Wait till he gets right in the middle, sir.
Every one of you listening to my voice, tell the world, tell this to everybody wherever they are. Watch the skies everywhere. Keep looking. Keep watching the skies.
all of you in this room, one at a time. I must remind you that the scanning experience is usually a painful one, sometimes resulting in nosebleeds, earaches, stomach cramps, nausea, sometimes other symptoms of a similar nature. There's a doctor present, Dr. Gatineau. I know that you've all been prepared for this, but I thought I'd just remind you just the same. There is one other thing. No one is to leave this room once the demonstration has begun. At this point, I'd like to call for volunteers. Anyone, doesn't matter. I'd like you to think of something specific, something that will not breach the security of your organization, and that you will not object to having disclosed to this group. Something personal, perhaps.
All right. Yes, I have something. Do I have to close my eyes?
It doesn't matter.
All right, yes, I have something.
Acid oxidizes after the creature's death, completely neutralizing.
Bishop, you know, that's very interesting, but it doesn't really get us anywhere, does it? I'm trying to figure out what we're dealing with here. Let's go through it again. They grab the colonists, they move them over there, and they immobilize them to be hosts for more of these. Which would mean that there would have to be a lot of these parasites, right? One for each colonist, that's over 100 at least.
Yes, that follows.
But each one of these things comes from an egg, right? So who's laying these eggs?
I'm not sure.
It must be something we haven't seen yet.
Hey, maybe it's like an ant hive.
Bees, man. Bees have hives.
You know what I mean. There's like one female that runs the whole show.
Yes, the queen.
Yeah, the mama. She's badass, man. I mean, big.
These things ain't ants.
I know that.
This, man.
Not enough to have to wake up to your face, Drake.
What? Is that a joke?
Oh, wish it were.
Hey, Hicks. Man, you look just like I feel.
All right, sweetheart, so what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps. Day in the Marine Corps is like a day on the farm. Maybe meals and banquet. Maybe paycheck or fortune. Every formation of parade. I love the car.
Oh, man, the floor is freezing.
What do you want me to do? Fetch the slippers for you?
Gee, would you, sir? I'd like that.
Look into my eye.
Fall in, people. Come on. Let's go.
I hate this job.
Bro,
hey, we got some slack.
Come on.
Right?
Be on your feet.
Yeah, 3 weeks in the back, bro. Come on.
Talking about freezing, not this broken shit.
Yeah, stop. How about it?
All right, first assemblies in 15, people. Shag it.
Hey, Mira. Who's Snow White?
She's supposed to be some kind of consultant. Apparently, she saw an alien once.
Whoopie fucking do. Hey, I'm impressed.
Hey, Vasquez.
Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
No. Have you?
Oh, Vasquez. Ow. It is too bad.
Historic records prove the secret intensification of the biological weapons race in America make the Soviet efforts pale by comparison. Here to prove it are three of the most stunning and condemning documents in biological warfare history. First is a never-declassified congressional record of 1969 showing the Department of Defense requested $10 million to develop, quote, synthetic biological agents for germ warfare, end quote, through the National Academy of Sciences, National Research Council, that is, the NAS, NRC. That's nearly half of the amount of money given to all of biological weaponry that year. These new laboratory creations were descriptively and functionally identical to HIV/AIDS. Mind you, this was 15 years before the contested discovery of the AIDS virus by this man, Dr. Robert Gallo, who, as you will see in a minute, oversaw Litton Bionetics, the Army's sixth leading biological weapons contractor at that time. Bionetics also operated the entire administration of the National Cancer Institute's programs at Fort Detrick at that time as well. This private company was a medical subsidiary of the mega military weapons contractor called Litton Industries. Litton's president, Roy Ash, was Nixon's alternate for the National Security Advisor post he gave to Kissinger. In consolation, the president made Ash his White House Chief of American Business and Industry. As Roy Ash was joining the Nixon White House staff, Kissinger ordered Admiral Sumwalt of the Navy to do a reassessment of America's biological weapons capabilities. The Navy has always been at the forefront of such things. Bioweapons were cheaper to make and could be made to target certain people, even certain ethnic groups. There is no doubt that Fort Detrick's sudden cancer focus was part of a greater depopulation plan. According to congressional records and his biographer, Time Magazine's managing editor, Walter Isaacson, Kissinger selected the options presented by Admiral Sumwalt to develop AIDS-like and Ebola-like bioweapons, and the contract went to his White House colleague's company, Litton Bionetics. There is now no doubt that Dr. Gallo officiated the development of these AIDS complex viruses. His group at Bionetics combined leukemia, lymphoma, and sarcoma viruses from various species of animals nearly 15 years before he was credited by the Department of Health and Human Services for having discovered the cause of AIDS, a similar retrovirus. They said this would lead to a cure, an AIDS vaccine, within 3 years. It never happened. I managed to catch up to Dr. Gallo at the 11th International Conference on AIDS in Vancouver in 1997. I asked him if he was concerned that some of his experiments might have given rise to the AIDS virus or AIDS virus relatives that might have contaminated monkeys and chimpanzees shipped by Litton to the Merck Vaccine Division in New York for the production of the earliest hepatitis B vaccine. Here is the exchange Dr. Gallo eventually apologized to me for. He was obviously aggravated.
Do you have any concern that your early experiments in taking simian virus 40 in the presence of simian foamy retroviruses and recombining them with cat leukemia and chicken leukemia sarcoma viruses might have given rise to HIV or its relatives following their culture in human tissues, and that these mutants could have contaminated some live viral vaccines produced in contaminated monkeys and chimps supplied to vaccine manufacturers through your affiliates at Litton Bionetics?
Quite frankly, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I'll cite your paper, Dr. Gallo.
If you can, you've got a paper that I don't know I ever published.
Okay.
I'd sure like you to cite it. Would you begin?
I'd be happy to. National Academy of Sciences, 1970, Gallo et al. Oral presentation that you presented before NATO and NATO audiences in Mol, Belgium. You published it. It's in the National Academy of Sciences. I'll be happy to show you the paper.
Stop. I mean, this is beyond asinine. In Mol, Belgium, my first trip to Europe, so I can remember it, a NATO meeting did take place. NATO meetings fund all scientific meetings all over the world, even east-west at that time. Biologic meetings, scientific, chemistry meetings, all kinds of meetings. Meetings about motherhood, fatherhood, everything. And what I talked about in Mold, Belgium, was in the 1960s, long before gene cloning took place, before I ever worked in virology. What I talked about was cellular transfer RNA. Okay? And that's Mold, Belgium. Proceeding to the National Academy of Science and SB40, I never published a paper in my life on SB40, except the transfer RNA species in SB40 transformed hamster cells compared to non-transformed cells as a control. You've got pineapples, kiwis, grapes, and cherries mixed in with some other tutti frutti. I don't know what in the hell you're talking about.
And excuse me.
Tired of this kind of nonsense.
Okay. And Gallo Sarin et al. Were Litton Bionetics researchers, were your co-authors, in which you combined cat leukemia and chicken sarcoma viruses leukemia sarcoma complex models.
Yes, we did. Everything was created by us, working in the laboratory. Look, just for those with some little bit of understanding of this, who care about this kind of idea, I've had a lot of things said, but I've never had anything quite like that one. There were people who thought and made postulations that, and it was not actually directed at me, this is a good one, a new one, but that HIV could have been created in laboratory experiments. There are two answers to that that are definitive, conclusive, that no scientist could have deliberately created them unless he was a super genius and 10 years ahead of his time. The AIDS virus definitively existed long before molecular cloning. That's point one. Point two, we know the full sequence. The genome of HIV was published by our lab in 1985. In Paris, the same around the same time. The genome has no homology to any known existing virus in the world, except SIV, discovered after it. It has nothing to do with cats. It has nothing to do with chicken sarcoma viruses. SB40 is a DNA virus that comes from little animals that can transform cells in culture. It has no sequences in HIV. Further, we never worked with SB40 with those viruses together, and if we did, the whole thing would be irrelevant. And I think you need to begin with Biology 101 high school.
These documents, including the U.S. government contract, best explain how AIDS emerged on two far-removed continents in black Africans and gay New Yorkers by 1978. These were precisely the populations that received the first hepatitis B vaccine, produced in Litton's chimpanzees just 4 years earlier. By the way, the man sitting to Dr. Robert Gallo's right is Dr. Jonathan Mann. At the time, Dr. Mann was the AIDS czar for the World Health Organization. Not long after Dr. Mann witnessed my exchange with Gallo, he quit his most esteemed position, saying, quote, far more than a medical problem, AIDS is a socio-political imposition, end quote.
This was a test campaign used in 1947 to market a new product. The product was a drug, a tranquilizer called Ephemeral. It was aimed at pregnant women. If it had worked, it would have been marketed all over North America. But the campaign failed, and the drug failed, because it had a side effect on the unborn children, an invisible side effect.
It created scanners.
Yes. The man who invented Ephemeral was very excited by this weird mutation it caused. And so was Consec. They offered to finance his experiments. So he sold him his company and himself.
And that man was Dr. Ruth.
That was Daddy. Now, I said that the side effects of Ephemeral
were invisible. But that's not completely true. Daddy could see them. He could see them in us. He had given the prototype of ephemeral to his pregnant wife, our mother, 4 years before it hit the market, and then again a year later. His children turned out to be difficult until he realized that the only thing that would calm them down was his drug, ephemeral. That's why we're older than all the others. Not only older, more powerful. The rest of them, they're nothing compared to us. Then what did you need Keller for? Contact had hardware. It had contacts. Keller could see the future. The future? You murdered the future. That's negative, Cam. Defeatist. Disappoints me to hear you talk that way. You're starting to sound like them. There's a whole generation of scanner soldiers just a few months away from being born. We'll find them, train them to be like us. Not like Obers and their band of cripples. Bring the world of normals to their knees. Rule an empire so brilliant, so glorious, will be the envy of the whole planet. You sound just like him. Like Ruth. No, not like him. Like Rack! Daryl Rack! No. Like him. It's as though he's been reincarnated in you. You're not listening to me. Not cooperating, Cam. You're not cooperating with me at all. I've been counting on you for years, Cameron. Tell me you're not going to betray me like all the rest. Tell me you're not. No! All right. We're going to do it the scanner way. I'm going to suck your brain dry. Everything you are is going to become me. You're going to be with me, Cameron, no matter what. After all, brothers should be close, don't you think?
me, Kim. Cameron. I'm here. We've won. We've won.
Ash? Any suggestions from you or Mother?
No, we're still collating.
You what? You're still collating? I find that hard to believe.
What would you like to do?
Just what you've been doing, Ash. Nothing. I've got access to Mother now, and I'll get my own answers, thank you.
All right.
What is it?
Have a look.
Blood must be 10, 12 hours old. Whatever happened here must have happened either last night or early this morning.
Uh-huh.
Check outside, will you?
Yeah. Sure, no traffic accident, was it?
This wasn't caved in, it was caved out. Did you find anything?
No footprints or tire marks. Found this. I picked up just one. There's six or seven more scattered over there.
Sugar.
Yeah.
You're on. We interrupt all radio and television programs for an indefinite period. Please keep your radio and television sets turned on. This is an emergency. I repeat, this is an emergency.
By direction of the President of the United States, in full agreement with the Governor of the State of California and the Mayor of Los Angeles, the City of Los Angeles is, in the interests of public safety, hereby proclaimed to be under martial law. Curfew is at 1800 hours. Any persons on the street or outside their quarters after 6 p.m. tonight will be subject to arrest by the military police. Now as for the reasons for this most drastic decision. A couple of months ago in the desert of New Mexico, gigantic ants were discovered.
These ants are similar in appearance and characteristics to the household and garden pests you're familiar with, except that they are mutations, ranging in size from 9 to 12 feet in length. The New Mexico colony was destroyed, but two queen ants escaped.
One has been accounted for and destroyed. The other is not yet being found. It is now known to have established a nest somewhere in the storm drains beneath the streets of Los Angeles. It is not known how long this nest has been established or how many of these lethal monsters have hatched. Maybe a few, maybe thousands. If new queen ants have hatched and escaped this nest, other American cities, even now, may be in danger. These creatures are extremely dangerous. They have already killed a number of persons. Stay in your homes, I repeat. Stay in your homes. Your personal safety, the safety of the entire city, depends upon your full cooperation with the military authorities.
Down here, lady.
No, but I'm with Mrs. Lodge.
No pass, no stay. This is a restricted area. Let's go.
Quiet, hold it, Sergeant. This is the mother.
They got no pass, sir, and my orders
are... Yeah,
I
know. Go talk to the general.
Huh?
Talk to the general.
Good evening, Mrs. Lodge.
Is there any word yet?
No, not yet.
No, but we've got an awful lot of people here to help find him. Look, this may take quite a while. Are you sure you wouldn't rather wait at home?
Oh, no. I want to be here when you...
Sure, sure. Well, take it easy and try not to worry, huh?
Now, Dr. Medford, since time is of the utmost importance, I recommend we pour gasoline into those drains and light it. That'll burn out anything that's in there, and still we'll be able to control the fire, so there'll be little or no property damage above the street. Any ants that get through, troops can take care of.
You can't do that, not yet. Not till we find out for sure whether those two kids are in there.
think there's a chance they're still alive? Are we supposed to jeopardize the lives of all the people of this city for the sake of two children who in all probability are already dead?
Why don't you ask their mother that question, mister?
Yeah, she's right over there.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
We not only have her to think of, but as I told you before, we can't risk fire until we know whether any new queens have hatched and flown out of this nest. Where's General O'Brien?
He's right over there by the command car, Doctor.
Thank you very much. Can we start now, General?
Well, I think so. How about it, Major?
Well, not yet, sir. We're waiting for more coverage to the north.
Contact the northern unit, soldier.
Northern units, come in. Northern units, come in.
How about the south?
All drains as far south as Long Beach are covered with either a bazooka team or flamethrowers.
You open this drain?
Units of the police force and Marines are covering them, sir. How about it, soldier?
Can't contact northern units, sir.
Let's go ahead anyway.
General O'Brien to all search units. Proceed into storm drains. O'Connell.
Yes, sir.
Get them moving.
Come on, boys. Let's get rolling. Roll them out of here.
Watch yourself, Paul.
Peterson and drain 223.
Repeat, Peterson and 223. We're in 0.6 of a mile. Nothing to report. Over.
This is Kibbe and drain 192. Repeat, Kibbe and 192. In 0.8 of a mile. Nothing to report. Over.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Come aboard. To your left?
Yeah.
Peterson, stop all motors.
Stop all motors. This is Peterson. Stop all motors. Stop all motors.
This is Peterson and drain 223.
Repeat, Peterson and drain 223. We're in just over a mile. I think I hear something.
There it is again. Stand by. Where does this thing go?
According to this, that feeder pipe runs into a mainline drain that isn't finished yet. Still in the construction stage.
Give me a hand, Steve. Tell him where I'm going.
Yeah.
Peterson is
going through the connecting feeder to drain 267.
We've heard what may be the kit. Repeat, we've heard what may be the kit. Stand by.
Then he said there was construction down there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I call O'Brien and tell him that there's work lights down there to turn them on.
Right.
My map shows a portion of drain 267 is unfinished, with construction postponed for the last 60 days. They may have left work lights installed. If so, get them turned on. Stand by.
Red. Drain 267 is the target area. Repeat. Condition red. Drain 267 is the target area.
Unit 14 proceeds south of drain 240. Unit 267. Repeat. Unit 14 proceeds south of drain 240. Unit 267. Unit 15 proceeds at drain 300. West.
Condition red. Drain 267 is the target area. O'Connors, bring up my Jeep.
Yes, sir.
I hope we found this nest in time, Doctor.
Thank you.
any type of gas we can use?
No, we can't take a chance. It might poison the whole city.
Well, we've got to get through there, locate the egg chamber. Find out if any new queens have hatched out.
General, where's Dr. Medford?
He's coming.
Thank you. Is this it, Doctor?
They're new participants. New queens. Yes, this is the egg chamber. The same as we found in New Mexico.
Are we too late?
Fortunately, we were in time. I'm certain no new queens have escaped from this nest. The job will be done when these are destroyed.
Okay, burn them out.
Pat, if these monsters got started as a result of the first atomic bomb in 1945, what about all the others that have been exploded since then?
I don't know.
Nobody knows, Robert. When man entered the atomic age, he opened a door into a new world. What we'll eventually find in that new world, nobody can predict.
Yes, well, the good guys win this time, but one never knows. Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Michael Lewis Ingham, DJ Honeycomb. And welcome to an offset of our Blueberry Tea Groove. We pour a different type of mix tonight. We just wanted you to know it's going to be the first of several Mad Scientist mixes that you'll hear between now and Halloween, my favorite holiday.
Yay!
Having said all that, we are proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good stuff, yes. The who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how, right now, at www.basnnewsroom, all one phrase, .com. Well, if you guys like this, my colleagues at Total Music Concepts, LTD, John Harrison and Keith Hunley, they not only taught me how to spin, they allowed my mind to flow in the direction where you hear some of these mixes thinking, what the fuck is he doing? And you get a better idea. But we will be continuing to do these type of mixes all again now through the end of the month. My brother DJ Gray is on assignment. We'll be back tomorrow night with the Hump Day special, 9 p.m. Eastern here on Soul Tree and the Raw. And, of course, Thursday we'll be back with another Blueberry Tea Groove. Next week we change up. It'll be the Blueberry Tea set. Because after the 15th of October, they're supposed to have heat on. Now, you know, global warming, we don't know whether or not the heat will be on or not, but we will be. All things hopeful. And having said that, it is time to go back into the abyss and generate another mix. Who knows what horror really is? For some, it's the Tuskegee experiments. For others, it's making AIDS expressly to kill black folks. For others, it could be just the government. Definitely got some hard shit going on now. You don't need no flicks. You're getting that shit live and in living color. But having said that, let's get back to work. We will see you tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, for the Hump Day special. Now, good evening.
concentration of political power. The plan is perfectly plain. To retain and perpetuate this power for decades. 2 terms for JFK, 2 for Bobby, and 2 for Ted. And in each administration, the brothers who are not president would take over the most powerful cabinet post. They have several $100 million and some of the best brains on earth to carry it through. They have put together a powerful coalition of big city machines, labor, Negroes, Jews, liberals, and the press that will make him unbeatable in 1964.
Wait a minute, Professor. He's appointed Republicans to the Treasury, to the Navy. Another is head of the CIA. My brother Bobby worked on Joe McCarthy's committee. The old man is further to the right than I am.
Ancient history, Harold. The man's come out for cuts on the oil depletion allowance. He's stopping mergers under the Antitrust Act. He promises to close down 52 domestic and 25 overseas military bases.
Foster, since when you believed the promises of politicians, especially in an election year?
Times have changed, Mr. Ferguson, and tactics along with them. In the next few months, you're going to see JFK do the following. One, he's going to lead the Black Revolution instead of fighting it. Now, we all know what that means, don't we?
Damn right, a white backlash. Federal troops backing up the blacks, blood in the streets.
2, he's going to try to put across a test ban treaty with the Russians. And 3, he's going to try to pull out of Vietnam and turn Asia over to the communists.
Ridiculous. The American public would never stand for that.
Come on, Harold. The American public will stand for what it has to stand for. What it's told to stand for, or what it's educated to stand for.
Done effectively, the public would soon be disenchanted with the war.
Which would make action imperative.
What kind of action?
Executive. I'll take it from here, Bob. Let's all go in the other room.
Why the other room?
Mr. Shortwalk, do you good?
There's nothing wrong with my heart, James.
Got you there, Jim.
Tell me, sir, to what do you ascribe your great good health?
Hard liquor and soft women.
Tell that gentleman.
Was not made by people who sat in their own community and followed their own private interests. Instead, it was made by the men who recognized that change means progress, and progress means the welfare of our people. That's what makes this a great country.
Europe, heads of state always die at the hands of conspirators. Our presidents are killed by madmen. The pattern is remarkably consistent. Abraham Lincoln, April 14th,
1865.
Target, sitting and stationary. Range, 6 inches. Successful. James Garfield, July 2nd, 1881. Target, walking at 2.5 miles per hour. Range, 3 feet. Successful. William McKinley, September 6th, 1901. Target, standing and stationary. Range, 1 foot. Successful. Theodore Roosevelt, October 14th, 1912. Target, standing and stationary. Range, 6 feet. Wounded. Survived. Franklin D. Roosevelt, February 15th, 1933. Target, sitting and stationary. Range, 23 feet. 5 shots, 5 misses. In no case was the killer an expert marksman. In every case, the Secret Service was unprepared. And in every case, the assassin was a political fanatic willing to die to get the president. Now, no professional technician can be expected to lay his life on the line for such a cause. So we've determined that our action can best be carried out during a motorcade.
How so?
Because they're scheduled well in advance. And they give you a chance to fire from cover and get away in the confusion.
How do you select your operatives?
I can tell you, Harold. Now, in the old days, you used to have to train your own men from the ground up, keep them on your payroll the rest of their lives. No more.
Well, you know how many men were fired by the CIA after the Bay of Pigs fiasco. There's a small army of anti-Castro Cubans. They're all ready. They're all available. They can do anything from picking a lock and bugging an embassy to taking care of an ambassador.
So, how many of them do you need?
A team of three men. I've got two teams in the field for over a month.
Why two?
One team will be selected for action, the other for backup and getaway. These are all men I've used before, Harold. Trained, reliable, professional. Now, one man firing from long range at a moving target is out of the question. Even with two men, we found the percentages of failure are too high. The only possible scenario is three rifles with triangulated fire. Two firing at a retreating target, the third firing as a target advances.
Mary, 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 time. And you, oh my pretty one, gentle as a fawn. And as I row my boat ashore, my dream is that we go home. Oh, how I miss you, Mary. I love to be back home again. My sails are waiting for the wind.
I'm
I didn't know anything about Holden getting wasted at the Tyrell Corporation. Why should I? I was retired. Holden was my replacement.
Let's go to the colony.
This announcement has been brought to you by the Shimada Dominion Corporation. Helping America into the new world.
I quit after my wife left me. She went off world with some guy who made a fortune in the colony. I thought I'd have a shot at being human again. I'm Decker, Blade Runner. Retired. At least, I thought I was retired. Designed to last only about 4 years. The last census showed 106 million people in the city. Somewhere in the crowd, I was supposed to find the four phony ones, the replicants. I didn't know it then, but they were looking for something too. They'd got an address from the Chinese eye designer. An address. J.F. Sebastian was another of those oddball geniuses who did genetic designing. Hands were his specialty. His hobby was making fancy mechanical toys. Most important, though, he had access to Eldon Tyrell. That poor jerk had no idea what was waiting for him. Replicants didn't have wives and kids. I thought about my wife. Off-world, living the good life with some prosperous jerk. Maybe the replicants wanted to remember each other. 4 years was all they had. 4 years was a short time or a long time, depending on how you looked at it, what you had in mind.
Go right. Stop. Enhance 22 to 16. Enhance 57 to 19. Enhance 15 to 23. Stop. Pull back. Wait a minute, go right. Stop.
Hence 22 to 16. Stop. Your hard copy right there.
You talk to the artist.
Artist?
The sexies, pal. The ladies. They're the ones that's got all the snakes. Yeah, they got all kinds. They're in the dressing rooms out in the back.
Can I go back there?
You got a badge? What do you want, an invitation?
Thanks a lot.
Hey. Needed a drink. There's no rule that says you have to be clean before you waste one.
Dickard's a deep one. You give me that promotion, I'll find a search.
Only bust in the record room is the drill book. That's it. Then they stuck him in that big bozo, Leon.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Time to die.
I told her about Batty on the roof dying, making every second count. I told her I loved her. She told me it was the happiest day of her life. She told me she loved me too. I figured I wouldn't get the headaches or the shakes anymore, not for a while. It was good enough for me. I hope it was good enough for her.
give for your present. With this, he could have studied life on the other planets.
Get that ambulance over here. Take him to Walter Reed Hospital right away.
Yes, sir.
Howley,
sir. General, right in there, Mr. Howley. My name is Harley, Secretary to the President. I've been told you speak our language. Now, if your name is Mr. Fatou?
Just Fatou.
The President asked me to convey his deepest apologies for what has happened.
Sit down, Mr. Harley.
Thank you. I'm sure I need hardly point out that your arrival was something of a surprise. Have you been traveling long?
About 5 months. Your months.
You must have come a long way.
About 250 million of your miles.
Naturally, we are very curious to know where it is you come from.
From another planet. Let's just say that we're neighbors.
It's rather difficult for us to think of another planet as a neighbor.
I'm afraid in the present situation, you'll have to learn to think that way.
The present situation?
Oh. You mean the reason for my coming here?
Hi. We're very curious about that, too. Would you care to talk about it?
I'd be glad to. Not now, of course, with you alone.
Or perhaps you'd rather discuss it personally with the President.
This is not a personal matter, Mr. Harley. It concerns all the people on your planet.
I'm not sure I understand.
I want to meet with representatives from all the nations of the Earth.
I'm afraid that would be a little awkward. It's completely without precedent. And there are practical considerations. The time involved, the enormous distances.
I travel 250 million miles.
I appreciate that, but I want to be frank with you, Mr. I mean, Fatou. Our world at the moment is full of tensions and suspicions. In the present international situation, such a meeting would be quite impossible.
What about your United Nations?
You know about the United Nations?
We've been monitoring your radio broadcasts for a good many years. That's how we learned your languages.
I'm sure you recognize from our broadcasts the evil forces that have produced the trouble in our world. Now, surely you
are not concerned, Mr. Harley, with the internal affairs of your planet. My mission here is not to solve your petty squabble. It concerns the existence of every last creature on Earth.
Perhaps if you could explain a little.
I intend to explain. To all the nations. At the same time. How do we proceed, Mr. Harley?
We could call a special meeting of the General Assembly, but of course the United Nations doesn't represent all the nations.
Then I suggest a meeting of all the chiefs of state.
Believe me, you don't understand. They wouldn't sit down at the same table.
I don't want to resort to threats, Mr. Harley. I merely tell you that the future of your planet is at stake. I urge that you transmit that message to the nations of the Earth.
Make that recommendation to the President. But I must tell you in all honesty, I'm extremely dubious about the results.
Apparently I'm not as cynical about Earth's people as you are.
I've been dealing in Earth politics a good deal longer than you have. Good night, sir.
Now 2 a.m. The giant robot still hasn't moved. Engineers from nearby Fort Belvoir have failed to budge him, and metallurgical experts have found his huge body impregnable. They're now concentrating on the ship itself, so far with no results.
Place, Sergeant?
Oh, no, sir. Just beat me, sir. I saw the ramp through the side of the ship right here. Now I can't even find a crack.
Oh, Carlson. What's the report?
No luck, sir.
We've tried everything from a blowtorch to a diamond drill.
What about him?
Made out of the same stuff.
Have you moved, Sergeant?
No, sir, not an inch. This is the toughest material I ever saw, General. The hardness and strength that's out of this world.
I can tell you officially that's where it came from.
The skeletal structure is completely normal. The tests show the same for the major organs. Heart, liver, spleen, kidneys.
And the lungs are the same as ours. That must mean a similar atmosphere, similar pressure. How old do you think he is?
Oh, I'd say 35, 38.
Told me this morning while I was examining him. He's 78.
I don't believe it.
Life expectancy is 130.
Well, how does he explain that?
Says their medicine is that much more advanced. He was very nice about it, but he made me feel like a third-class witch doctor.
I removed a bullet from that man's arm yesterday.
What about it?
I just examined the wound, and it's completely healed.
What does he say about it?
Said he put some salve on it, some stuff he had with him.
What are you going to do with it?
Take it downstairs and have it analyzed. Then I don't know whether to just get drunk or give up the practice of medicine.
Afternoon, Mr. Harley.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Come home yet?
Yeah, he's right inside.
Tell him I'd like to see him.
Okay, come on in.
Your name, Carpenter?
Yes.
Oh, I suppose Professor Barnhart's been looking for me.
I've been looking for you all afternoon.
You still haven't answered my question.
You know how I feel, Tom. But I just want to think it over.
The boss is leaving for Chicago tomorrow. If I could tell him that I was getting married and had two dependents.
You're a good salesman. But I've got to think about it.
A good insurance salesman wouldn't give you time to think about it. Good evening. Mrs. Benson, this is Mr. Brady.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Mr. Brady's a government agent.
Have a nice day, dear.
We had a swell time, didn't we, Mr. Carpenter?
Yes, we did.
We went to the movies and had some ice cream cones, and then we went to see Daddy.
I don't know how to thank you.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
We better get going, Mr. Carpenter.
Judy, you didn't finish your story.
I'll finish it tomorrow. Good night, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Good
night.
Come on, dear. Time to go to bed.
Why did Mr. Carpenter have to go with Mr. Brady?
I don't know. Maybe it was a mistake.
Oh. You sure had fun today. We saw the spaceship, and we went to see Professor Barnhart.
Professor Barnhart?
Yeah, sure. Mom, we'll have to go to school tomorrow.
Yes, of course, dear.
Gee, I was hoping I could go out with Mr. Carpenter again.
Oh, come in. The professor's in his study.
Right.
This is the man you wanted to see, Professor.
Thank you, Captain.
I'll wait outside.
You wrote this?
It was a clumsy way to introduce myself. But I understand you're a difficult man to see. I thought you'd have the solution by this time.
Not yet. That's why I wanted to see you.
All you have to do now is to substitute this expression at this point.
Yes, that will reproduce the first order term. But what about the effect of the other terms?
Almost negligible. With variation of parameters, this is the answer.
How can you be so sure? Have you tested this theory?
I find it works well enough to get me from one planet to another. I am Klaatu. I spent 2 days at your Walter Reed Hospital, room 309. My doctor's name was Major White. Now, if you are not interested, or if you intend to turn me over to your army, we needn't waste any more time.
You may go now, Captain. Please thank General Cutler and tell him that I know this gentleman.
You have faith, Professor Barnhart.
It isn't faith that makes good science, Mr. Clatton. It's curiosity. Sit down, please. There are several thousand questions I'd like to ask you.
I would like to explain something of my mission here.
That was my first question.
We know from scientific observation that your planet has discovered a rudimentary kind of atomic energy. We also know that you're experimenting with rockets.
Yes, that is true.
So long as you were limited to fighting among yourselves with your primitive tanks and aircraft, we were unconcerned. But soon, one of your nations will apply atomic energy to spaceships. That will create a threat to the peace and security of other planets. That, of course, we cannot tolerate.
What exactly is the nature of your mission, Mr. Klaatu?
I came here to warn you that by threatening danger, your planet faces danger. Very grave danger. I'm prepared, however, to offer a solution.
Would you care to be more specific?
What I have to say must be said to all concerned. It is too important to be entrusted to any individual.
I gather that your efforts on the official level were not entirely successful.
I come to you as a last resort, and I confess my patience is wearing thin. Must I take drastic action in order to get a hearing?
What sort of action do you mean?
Violent action, since that seems to be the only thing your people understand. Leveling New York City, perhaps? Or sinking the Rock of Gibraltar?
Would you be willing to meet with the group of scientists I'm calling together? Perhaps you could explain your mission to them, and they in turn could present it to their various peoples.
That's why I came to see you.
It is not enough to have men of science. We scientists are too often ignored or misunderstood. We must get leaders from every field, the finest minds in the world.
I leave that in your hands.
One thing, Mr. Klaatu. Suppose this group should reject your proposals. What is the alternative?
I'm afraid there is no alternative. In such a case, the planet Earth would have to be eliminated.
Such power exists?
I assure you, such power exists.
People who come to the meeting must be made to realize this. They must understand what is at stake. You mentioned a demonstration of force.
Yes.
Would such a demonstration be possible before the meeting?
Yes, of course.
Something that would dramatize for them and for their people the seriousness of the situation. Something that would affect the entire planet.
That can easily be arranged.
I wouldn't want you to harm anybody or destroy anything.
Why don't you leave it to me? I'll think of something.
Maybe a little demonstration.
Something dramatic, but not destructive. That's quite an interesting problem. Would the day after tomorrow be all right? Say about noon.
Developments, but police and the FBI are tracing every possible clue and rounding up all possible suspects.
Rummy?
This is the greatest manhunt.
Do it again. Take a hand, Mr. Carpenter.
Take it. Oh, no thanks, we did. No thanks.
Are you going out there?
Yes, Tom's picking me up.
Well, personally, I wouldn't go out after dark these days. But then I'm not courting, am I? Oh, Mr. Carpenter.
Everyone seems so...
jittery is the word.
Bob is the only person I know who isn't jittery.
Well, he has his homework to keep him occupied.
He's a fine boy, Mrs. Benson.
Naturally, I think so.
Warm, friendly, intelligent.
Mr. Carpenter, this is none of my business. But why did that man come here last night?
Well, they just wanted to ask me a few questions. Bobby and I tried to see Professor Barnhart in the afternoon. He wasn't in. Apparently, they thought I was looking for secrets of some kind. Starts at 8:50.
I was just talking to Mr. Carpenter.
Well, I hope Mr. Carpenter won't think I'm intruding.
Shh.
What? Good evening. Excuse me, I was just going up to my room.
Good night, Mr. Carpenter.
Have a good time, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't you wait in here while I get my things? Tom, that was awkward.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm just tired of hearing about Mr. Carpenter.
Oh.
I don't like the way he's attached himself to you and Bobby. After all, what do you know about it? All you have to remember is first find the common denominator and then divide.
Thanks, Mr. Carpenter.
I'll say goodnight again.
Mr. Carpenter. I...
Good night, Miss Benson.
Go to bed now, darling. You can finish that in the morning.
Okay.
Bobby. I think it would be better if we didn't see quite so much of Mr. Carpenter.
Gee, why, Mom? He's my best friend. And he's awful good in arithmetic. He even helps Professor Barnhart.
You and Mr. Carpenter really go see Professor Barnhart?
Sure we did. He wasn't there, but we went to see him. And Mr. Carpenter showed him how to do his arithmetic. Mom? Something wrong with Mr. Carpenter?
What do you mean, dear?
On account of last night. You think he's a bank robber? Or a gangster, maybe?
No, dear, of course not. He's a very nice man. I just think that he might prefer to be left alone, that's all. You go to bed and forget about it. Night, darling.
Night. Mom? Why would he want to be left alone?
Don't forget to brush your teeth.
Yeah. A real Boy Scout one.
Fine.
Here, all you gotta do is push up on it, see?
Oh.
What do you need it for?
The lights in my room went out.
Oh.
I must tell you sometime about another kind of train. A kind that doesn't need any tracks.
Really?
Really. Remind me in the morning, I'll tell you all about them.
Okay.
Thank you.
tracks.
Moringa. fade to black. Yes, will the forces of good succeed, or will they succumb to the forces of evil? This is to be continued. More Mad Scientist mixes to come Thursday, but the Hump Day special comes first Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Check us out now. Thursday at 8 p.m. We'll be back with more mixes. Saturday, the Stir Fry, 2 p.m. Eastern, followed by Gary North Gray and the Grand Lumber Covert 4. Sunday, DJ Gray comes back in vogue, breaking out some good shit from the late 60s and early 70s and another Blue Light special. And then we'll be back again with another Music Therapy Mindstream. For all of us here at the tree, go safe, stay safe, be safe. Wash your hands. Wash your ass. That's right, we said that. Wash your ass. And wear a mask where applicable. Watch back. Good night.